Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen, Empowered Communication, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to the show. We're so glad you're here with us tonight at latalkradio.com, Empowered Communications, Dr. Pat Allen. We have a very special guest tonight, Patricia Altinge, and we're going to hop right into it. Dr. Allen, you are live on the air. Welcome, Patricia Altinge.
Hello.
Patricia?
Yes, I am here.
How long have you been near me?
Oh, I have been near you close to 30 years now, Pat. So we have been around and round the sun quite a few times together.
I know that. And what is the reason you picked the study of dream analysis, dream reading?
Well, all those years ago, as I was in my studies, I was already in the natural healing field, and I was a very proficient dreamer, and it was bringing me insights, and you brought that I was gifted in this area, and I had been dreaming and working through my own past traumas from childhood, and it brought me such enlightened experience that I kept venturing deeper down the rabbit hole in the field till I became an expert and have this, finally, this book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself. But it all started with my own personal quest and you kicking me in the pants.
I wanted you to demonstrate so that people would get help. I like helping people. So the
And I like One helping Institute people
is a nonprofit school system, and you're a TA, transactional analyst, production.
Friend to practitioner, that's right.
Practitioner. And so is Kelly Ward. And I'll let her describe that. But what is the biggest thing you've learned in your dream analysis?
The biggest thing I have learned is how and why we dream in order to enhance our life experience and our experience in our relationships around, and all the people around us will have an enhanced experience from our understanding our own dreams. So that is what I've experienced myself, and that I could pass it forward and teach other people and help other people to enhance their lives through understanding their dreams.
Good. So
because the dreams are really the backdoor entrance to our own subconscious mind. So all this information is in there. We just need the tools to access things we already know.
And I hear that we three are going to analyze and read a dream right now in the next 15 minutes. So is that true?
Oh, yes. Right, Kelly? You're bringing a dream to us, Kelly?
That is 100% correct. And I have the dream. Are you ladies ready to hear it?
I'm ready.
Kelly, do you want to describe what you do?
Well, I run groups. I'm a TA practitioner. I'm trained by the one and only illustrious Dr. Pat Allen. I have done all of the WANT training and ASR, and I'm also a licensed private investigator a licensed real estate agent, and a paralegal.
Yay! Now all three of us have spoken. So are we going to do the dream analysis now?
Yes, I'm going to read it to you girls now. Are you ready?
Yes, ready.
Ready.
The dreamer says, in my dream, I'm around 28 years old. I'm dressed in business attire. I think it's the late 1980s. It seems like it must be if I'm around 28 years old. I have a sporty car. I'm dressed nicely in my business attire, so I must make decent money. I drive myself to work. I go inside, and there's a meeting. I go into the conference room, and I take a seat, and a lesbian sits next to me, and I don't know her. Suddenly, my dad is sitting on my left side of me, and my mother is giving the lecture. The lesbian keeps moving closer and closer. Hold on. Sorry, it's in two parts. And I'm uncomfortable, but I don't want to appear that way, so I move over a little bit closer to my dad. My dad was sort of oblivious to my presence, and I start to feel uncomfortable. I don't really hear what my mother, the lecturer, is saying. I feel myself filled with anxiety and sort of flushed, and the next thing you know, I'm in a junior high school classroom, sitting in the back, looking at my English teacher talking, and I don't know how I got there.
Okay.
That's a dream.
That's it? Okay.
That's the dream.
Okay.
Well,
Patricia.
I will, yes, I think what is going on here right away is this is really bringing up a person's script, because when we are dreaming of our parents, that they are introduced as characters in the play of our dream, which I call it a play sometimes with characters, we're dreaming of our scripted self. So in this dream, which is going back to the 1980s, she is talking about her scripted self from back then, and she is in a masculine mode in the sporty car and business attire. So she has been scripted in her masculine quite nicely and has been doing well that way. And then she discovers that she's going to a conference room. Again, that's the masculine side and business, but a lesbian sits next to her. Well, we're talking about an androgynous figure that, even though it's a female, which would be our masculine side, our do-good side, our productive side, this person is what we would call ego dystonic.
Anatomically, a female,
but a left lobe. Well, I just said productivity is your masculine side. So, again, we're scripted in masculine in this dream. And so the person is sitting there, but the mother, now here's where it comes in, the scripted part again, the mother figure comes in and is lecturing. So that is what you were scripted by in your masculine. And you were not really comfortable in the situation, and you were wanting to cozy up to your feminine side, which is the father image. The father image represents your feminine and your feeling centeredness. But it was not accepting of this. You were
That's
uncomfortable,
right,
but
it was ignoring.
Ignoring this, and you were ignoring your own feminine. Your feminine side was rejecting. It's a form of rejecting and sticking with the masculine and filled with anxiety. So we have anxieties, not knowing, are we supposed to be masculine? Are we supposed to be feminine? What are we? And then we're all of a sudden we're thrown backwards in time again in a junior high classroom, and you're able to go back looking at your English teacher talking. And what was the rest after that, Kelly?
She basically didn't understand how she got there. Like, she was aware that she wasn't really supposed to be there in junior high.
So this person is having this dream, is an awakening. It's an awareness that you're really not supposed to be scripted in this way. And so this is a very healing dream because of the awareness that you were scripted in a way that what you weren't supposed to be. So you have the opportunity to have a redo, or in golf, they say a mulligan. You know, you can have a do-over and decide how you want to live your life now. And that's the beauty.
Why do we have nightmares?
We have nightmares to bring us to attention. It's like a big exclamation point. Nightmares are just a dramatic way of saying, wake up and smell the coffee here. So nightmares are bringing us messages that we've been ignoring previously. And they are very, very meaningful dreams with positive messages for our personal growth.
Are all dreams positive and spiritual?
Oh, Pat, that's one of my favorite quotes. I quote you in my book, all dreams wish us well. And that is the truth. Even if they are scary images, they are bringing us positive messages for our own growth. And so we can transform when we have understanding of things that are not working well for us. When things are not working well in our lives, we get anxieties, we have sleeplessness, we even have certain ailments that we can relate to our lives not working right. And we can heal ourselves with understanding what is going on with us and not keep pushing it under the rug. We pay attention to these messages coming from the inside. And then it's an inside job for us to be able to transform on the outside.
So how can people get your book? Where is it? And do you give lectures or phone calls?
Yes, I take a private. I do Zoom. I do phone consults. People can hire me for their groups, and I do Zoom groups with people if they have their own groups they want to put together. Or sometimes I put together groups, and strangers can come together on that one. And my website is thedreamclass.com. And my book, The Dream Class, Know Your Dreams, Know Yourself, by me, Patricia Eltinge, E-L-T-I-N-G-E. And it's on Amazon. And it's in its second printing now. And it's sold all over the world now. We have a distributor in England. And I go to conferences, and I'm a speaker. So when people want me to speak about dreams to their groups or at their conferences, I do that. And I carry on, and I carry the message of transactional analysis. I help people with their relationships and help them have a deeper understanding of how they are relating in their relationships, and all their relationships, not just their romantic relationships, but all the interpersonal relationships of your life, you can improve with the understanding that comes from inside.
So it's spiritually a loving process for you.
It is, and I really love the process that I'm able to be a guide. I'm not Madame Varushka, the soothsayer, but I'm a guide. Like you, Pat, I've been able to give people a hand up through my gifts. And I'm happy to do that.
Great. Kelly, do you have anything you want to say before we go back into Pat Allen's powerful communication?
Yes, I do. I do. I want to tell you about the Dreamer. The Dreamer is a 62-year-old widow who just bought her dream ranch on her own, and she is going to be boarding horses. She's very excited, but also a little intimidated by what's going on in her world. And so I thought you guys would like to know where she was in her life, what her age was, and what was happening.
Wonderful. That's really wonderful. So it correlates that she's in a masculine phase of her life, which is productivity and do good, as we ladies are, as we progress in our years. And she's feeling good about it, but she still has some anxieties, and it's okay to have those anxieties and feel it and do it anyway.
There you have it. I just thought it was really great.
Yes.
Good. And she can reach out to you and you can help her.
Yes. All of the above.
Good.
At my office line is 310-528-0515.
Good.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you for that, Kelly. Thank you.
Thank you, Patricia. Thanks for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you next month. We'll have another dream, and we'll talk to you then.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Patricia.
All right, Patricia Alpech, everybody. The Dream Class. Okay. She's just, the book's beautiful. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Yeah, Dr. Pat, how are you?
Well, there he is, Brian.
Yes, it's easier to get in early in the show. And I had a dream the other day that ended, I think I was positive with COVID. So it didn't, and I was on the fence about taking a test, and I decided to take it right after that. And I was negative, so that was certainly a little scary in the dream, but I'm glad it encouraged me to do something that I was on the fence about.
So what can we do today for you?
Well, my question is, so I still have a number one that it looks like I'm going to see this weekend. Last weekend was very busy. So it was all right that we didn't get together with her. But I did see the woman that I consider to be more in the friend department. We went to one game together, and then we were both at the same game the next day, although not sitting with each other. And but she invited me over because she was at an event and they had a bunch of food. And she said, hey, why don't you pick up some of the food and, bring it to your friends over there, because we were sitting very close to where they had all this extra food.
You.
I, you know what? To me, it came off more as like mothering, like wanting to take care of. I still wonder if it's more in that department or the other. But at the end of that,
that's a negative thought. So if you want to be negative, that's how to do it.
But I almost would rather. I think we fit better as friends than anything else. I don't think we've spent enough time where I don't think there's enough chemistry. But after I pick up the food and I left, she was talking to some other people. So I was like, hey, you know, that's great. And then she texted me later and said, oh, well, you didn't say you didn't say goodbye. So I'm like, oh, now I got, you know, that made me think, all right. So, go ahead, and then I'll come up with my question.
What I hear is you decided you didn't want her, and you rejected her.
No, I didn't want to interrupt her conversation that she was having with, you know, like her alumni group. So I took
that.
The food and left.
But you used that example to interrupt this flirtation.
I mean, we had already spent like 3 or 4 hours together the day before. So it's not like we didn't have a good amount of time. But that is the question that I'm asking is, do you think I could address that with her? Because she had said like a year ago that she was only interested in being friends. And I was like, all right, friends is fine. But now, of course, we still talk a lot because we have a lot in common. And I wonder if that's worth bringing up.
She may be falling in love with you. You made a decision about her that may have been premature.
I think she made the decision about me that was premature because she's the one that came out and said it. But I haven't really said anything back in regards to it.
What made you think that she was pushing you away? I didn't hear mothering.
Like to come over and, you know, kind of like the coming over and getting extra food kind of thing. That seemed mothering. Plus, she said some other little things like... at the game, wanting to wear a mask, which I certainly did. Since it was outside, I didn't think it was as big a deal. But and in the beginning, again, she's the one that the first time we ever met said, "Nah, I think I'm fine. Let's be friends. I'm not interested in dating," even though that was over a year ago.
People grow out of their negative thoughts and feelings. Are you done with her? Because she was hurt.
Not as a friend.
Well, then
for
go
sure.
back
and then
see if that's what she wanted. And if she says, yes, mm-hmm. I only want a friend, is that what you want with her?
I think that's the plan that I've been under, but I haven't brought it up directly with her. Since I knew we were going to be spending this time together, I figured I'd bring it up in one of those three times, but it didn't end up happening. And I don't really want to bring it up over a text or over the phone, but I don't know. We got distracted by other things or, you know, we just get in the middle of talking
okay.
about something else.
So what you're saying, you're going to let her believe that you didn't want her. She picked it up, and you're not going to explain it.
No, while I'm talking to you about, do you think this is an instance of now bringing it up?
Now is a fine time because she's confronting you about the feeling of rejection she's gotten.
Yeah, and she brought up something like that in the past too, because I did stop talking to her for a while when I did have a girlfriend, even though I was still at the point of being friends. And she did bring that up a few months ago, and I was meaning to address both of those, but we never ended up talking about that when we were together, even though
it happened as a we. Yeah. It happens when someone like yourself decides that you only want a friendship and you don't want to mislead her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So do you want to do that?
Yeah, I don't want to mislead her, and I'm not sure that I am, but I think it is good to bring it up directly. which your stuff
is all
about.
He said, I felt disappointed that I didn't hear from you. That sounds painful. Did she not state that she sensed your withdrawal?
I did withdraw because I really didn't want to interrupt her while she was talking to her other friends. I mean, if it was just her right there, I certainly would have said a goodbye, but I don't know. I felt weird because she was around other people and seemingly enjoying that.
So would you like to have a phone call or some kind of connection in which you say that you really are not chemically involved with her inside, but you do find her friendly whenever it's convenient?
I'm thinking about the exact language on how to do that, but I like what you said there. It's like there is a little bit of chemistry, but really, I'll say, you know, you talk about I just don't see how, even though we have so much in common, there's a little chemistry. I'm like, I don't think it would fit together in a relationship because of a number of things, even though there are a lot of things to like about her.
So she thought she was more than a friend to you, and you thought she was not worthy of being a girlfriend, but you didn't want to inform her.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going off of what I heard initially a year ago, which is that she wasn't interested in that and that she was comfortable being friends. So I'm kind of gliding on that.
Think a year ago may mutate every day for a year.
Yeah, and now we have spent more time together and certainly pheromones since, you know, we've been sitting right next to each other. And one reason I don't want to push it further is, you know, I don't know, her relationship with her son, it might remind me of some things with my mom that I want to get away. They are really close, and she's talked about him being shy, and yeah, I think that could be I don't know. I haven't met him yet, and I will sometime, but
would you like to talk to her about the inadvertent pain of dropping her as a potential girlfriend for whatever reason, but thinking of her as a friend?
So I don't know. Could I say, would a Pat Allen way to be say it? I like the
Here's
friendship
what it
that we have.
Sounds like. What's
okay.
Your first name?
Oh, her first name?
Yeah.
Her name is Sarah.
Okay. Sherry? Is that her name?
Sarah.
Sarah. Sarah.
Yeah.
I'm calling you because I heard you say that you felt rejected or abandoned by me. Am I right? Would she say yes or no?
I think that's a good question. My guess is no.
Okay. Then she does not want to close the deal. So you then are off the hook.
Do you know what you've done?
You've opened a door of friendship with somebody who was still thinking of you more than a friend, but you had already de-escalated her, and you'll say Well, as a matter of fact, Sarah, I have felt that we might not be compatible on different levels, and you picked up on it, and I want you to know that it is true. I really would be more comfortable if we thought of each other as friends.
Okay, which I'm also wondering, could I say it kind of the I want to continue as friends. How do you, are you comfortable with that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, but I wasn't aware that you wanted her enough to make any effort.
Oh no! I definitely want to still be friends with her. Oh, we have a ton in common.
Therefore, what you're saying now is coming from a different place in your soul, feminine loving, and you don't have her answer. Do you want it?
I don't have an official direct answer on that. I think in some ways it's implied because we've been, because we talk a lot as it is, and it certainly really hasn't been flirty or anything like that, definitely on my part, and I really don't think on hers either, but I could say it more directly. That was my goal within these three games, but we didn't get around to it because I really would like to do it in person. So you kind of get that whole, you get all the senses, you're not just hearing a voice.
I have no problem with that. All I'm asking you for is, no, I do not want a terminator. Yes, I do want to de-escalate her into a friend candidate. And no,
or
yes,
confirm.
I'll confirm.
Or really confirm. Yeah.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You made some assumptions without her answers.
Without her recent answers. That's true.
You didn't get her input. She picked up rejection.
Mm-hmm.
But she did not have any evidence. Because you did your decision inside your own head.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to build a bridge?
I think that's definitely worth doing, is addressing, I did say it was my mistake. I did use my Pat Allen language that it was my mistake to not say goodbye, not to say I'm sorry. I know Pat Allen is not
into sorry.
And I wasn't sorry for that, but I did say the mistake.
Okay, so do you want to build the bridge to make an amends for a communication break?
To get some clarity around it, yes. I think because we certainly communicate a lot, but yes, we could have some clarity there.
Then
I could tell her.
Would you do it?
I can't remember if I told. I think I could. I think I could.
And
but I prefer to do it when we're in person.
That you went to a deeper place with her, even though it was rejection, you went to a deeper place before you had all your data.
What deeper place?
Goodbye.
Goodbye as far as dating goes?
Yes, all the parts that she felt the withdrawal on.
Uh, But I was really responding to what she said before.
Before is not where she was when she was with you then. You were projecting language on her that she didn't give you.
All right.
I want to tell you something. There are three techniques in communicating that undo the ability to negotiate. Do you remember what they are?
You said them recently, and I wrote them down somewhere, but it would take me a minute.
Evasiveness, you don't put all the cards on the table, which is one. You were evasive. The second thing is that she would have to be a mind reader to know that you had dropped her from a potential date to a friend. And because of some things that she said in her newly meeting you, turned you off, but you didn't confront her on it and see if she still thought that way.
So I suggest that
talking to her about being just a friend, or talking to her to see if she's more than a friend, would expand your capability of extending a relationship with a woman.
So I'm wondering, would this be a good Pat Allen way to say it? I remember last year you said you were fine with being friends only. Do you still feel that way?
Absolutely. But what you've got to do is, Sarah, I picked up that you felt rejected by me. Am I right?
Yes.
I want to explain what I've been thinking. And then you can go into, with her permission, the fact that you put some negative projections onto her that you didn't like, but you didn't inform her that you didn't like it because you didn't bring it up.
Can you say that again?
You were evasive. She needed to be a mind reader, and abruptness.
Okay. Evasiveness, abrupt.
Evasive.
And mind reader.
Mind reading. Require people to know that you've been dropping them in your head before you said anything.
Okay. No, I like what that is. Felt rejected by me and the food, are not saying goodbye. I remember you wanting to be friends only. Is that still the way that you feel? And then I want to continue as friends. Are you comfortable with that?
Are you willing to do this procedure?
I will get there. I think I can.
You do what?
I think I can.
Okay. I want you to understand, do what you know is right for you. I simply was giving you feedback about what I heard, about what you said about her interest and her today. She fell off your date table.
She really fell off my date table a year ago, but we had so much to talk about that it's continued.
Okay, so do you want to consider giving her the information of friendship or continued dating?
We're not dating. So yes, I can see the value in bringing some clarity and getting out of evasiveness.
Okay. So, and refer back to her statement of uncomfortableness.
Yes. You mean the uncomfortableness about not dating or the food thing?
Yes. Bring up the thing that turns you off.
The thing that turned me off?
Yep.
She might be a little too much like my mother in some good and some bad.
That's perfectly normal.
Yeah, and she is older. And we talked some stuff about general dating things. But I didn't. The first time we met, like a year ago, her just coming out and saying immediately, "Oh, I don't see us working as dating, but we can still be friends." I thought it was being handled, but I didn't like her putting her foot in her mouth.
She was doing what you did with evasive, mind reading, and abrupt. So think about whether you want to build a bridge or you don't. It's your choice.
Well, I think it's good skill building for me. I think there is a danger in losing her as a friend, which I would rather not do, but I think I could survive. I don't know.
Just fine. Thank you very much for calling and bringing that situation up.
All right. Well, thank you as always, Dr. Pat.
Okay. Call again.
Thanks, Brian. All right, call again. Bye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Okay, 323-203-0815 is the number to call to take the dive into the hot seat with Dr. Pat Allen and get your questions answered. Don't forget to go to our site, www.drpatallen.com, and sign up for our newsletter. When you're down there at the bottom of the page doing that, you can listen to Chemistry, Compatibility, and Communications, one of Dr. Allen's amazing things. Oh. Hello, caller. You're live on the air. Do you have a question?
Yes, I do. Hi, Dr. Allen.
Awesome.
What is it?
Dr. Allen? Hi. Okay, so I contacted my ex-boyfriend because I needed financial help, and he's basically like picked up where we left off. He called me his girlfriend again, and he bought me a bunch of stuff and helped me out. But then I'm getting sober, so I went back to this rehab facility, and but he's like a workaholic, and he doesn't respond to me. Like, he's always working. And so I said that if he had the right not to respond, but that if I didn't hear from him, then I would go back home and like get all my stuff and leave. And he said that he didn't have time for a relationship, and I guess we kind of broke up. But then that night he messaged me again, and he was like, "Hi," like, he's like, "Where are you?" And I told him that I'd gone home, and then he said that he wanted me to spend the night the next night, but then he didn't tell. I asked him what time,
wait a minute,
and then he didn't respond.
Did you have intercourse with him?
No.
Okay, so you didn't lead him on.
No. I told him that I wanted to wait for marriage, and he said that
so
was fine.
What? Oh, he was all right with that. Good. So
yeah.
What is
and
your
he actually
question?
Bought me diamonds. So do I wait another 8 weeks? But I'm confused because when I left him, he said he didn't have time for relationships. So I said that's fine, and I went and I got all my clothes and left. And then he ended up messaging me back that night. And he asked me to come over and stay with him again. But then he never gave me a time, and he ghosted me. So what does that mean?
He wants to be close to you, but he accepts you not letting him in your body, which is a friend with some light perks. Do you have any chemistry for him?
I do, but he's not intimate with me. Like, he's not affectionate.
Wait a minute.
He's not.
He asked you to sleep with him as not a intimate?
But, yeah, we slept in the same bed and everything, but, like, he doesn't really touch me or, like, kiss me that much.
Did you sleep in a bed with him?
Yes.
Did you cuddle up to him?
Yeah.
So he didn't do something you wanted him to do. What was it?
I like a lot of affection. I wanted foreplay.
So you wanted to be the man.
Oh.
So you wanted to
but
be the man?
I didn't say that to him. I didn't say that to him. I just said
Did you cuddle up to him?
Yes.
That was nice of you, but that was being a man.
Actually, I didn't cuddle up. I kind of just said if there was something wrong, because he wasn't being affectionate. He just said he had a long day at work.
Wait a minute. The soul of a man, the anima, is very sensitive,
mm-hmm.
especially around the issue of making love.
Oh,
the ones that are animals don't want to make love. They want to have sex.
Oh, I usually like those guys.
He showed me that he wanted to be affectionately lovable, but
yeah.
you wanted him to be passionately masculine.
Yes.
Well, is your mother a man?
Yeah. So passionate.
Is your father a girl?
Yeah.
So
well, he's narcissistic.
Well, I think he was nice to you. He asked you to come to his place and sleep with him without
yeah.
giving you a bad time about being sexual
mm-hmm.
or even making love. He did touch you cuddling. Yes or no?
No, he really didn't.
Okay.
He just gave me a peck on the mouth and that's it.
And you're mad at that?
Yes.
Are you hearing what you're saying to me?
No, I don't understand. I like a lot of affection.
What I'm hearing is that you want to be the man sexually and you want to molest mm-hmm. him.
Oh. Yeah. It's weird to me that he doesn't want to be more sexual with me, even though we're not having intercourse.
Wait a minute. He is not wanting to disrespect you by going for you for a piece of object sexually.
Hmm.
How
I see, because he did say he'll wait
How
until
do they
marriage.
Pick their women? What do they do? Eyes or ears?
Eyes.
How do women pick their men? Eyes or ears?
Ears.
But you're telling me your body said you wanted somebody way more sexual than he was.
Yeah.
That means you wanted to be the man and you were moving on him.
Right.
So how can I help you get cherished if you don't respect the man that asks you over and doesn't molest you and you're mad about it?
And he bought me a lot of clothes. He buys me everything. He bought me diamonds too.
My God.
But do you think once we're married,
have
if we get
read
married,
my
we'll
book,
be like sexual?
Have you read my book at all, Getting to IQ?
Yes, I did. I have.
did you read in the book, it said, do you want respect or do you want to be cherished?
Yeah.
And you said what?
Cherished.
Did you take the test in my book for narcissism,
yes,
masculine, or feminine?
I was feminine.
But you don't act feminine.
Right. I think I learned to be feminine with your work, but I think it's still in me. Like it still comes up.
Well, I promise you that you're going to come across a guy that you're going to be scared he's going to rape you. He's going to be so passionate.
Right. Yeah. I actually did come across that guy and he did rape me because I said no.
So are you willing, has this man asked you out again?
Yeah, he wanted me to come over again the next day and I asked him what time and then he ghosted me.
He did what? He ghosted, he canceled
you? He ghosted
you?
Me.
Yeah,
no,
he ghosted
I didn't cancel
you.
Him. I asked him what time he wanted me to come over and then he ghosted me.
What time did you say?
I didn't say, I said, I asked him because he works a lot. He said, you can come over again. And I said, what time do you want me to come over? And then he never responded.
Okay. Well, what time do you want to go over?
Well, now I kind of moved. I'm in LA now. And I'm kind of out of the, he never responded.
Wait a minute. He didn't respond because you were interviewing him. He already asked you to come over. Your job was to say, I can do Tuesday at 7 or whatever.
Oh, I thought I had to ask him what time.
No. See, when he said, I want you to come over, and you said, okay. And he said, and then you said, what time do you want me to come over? That's mothering.
Oh, why is that mothering?
See,
I thought that being him like a...
Being a woman, you were a woman up to the time you said, yes, I'd love to come over and cuddle with you. I have no problem with that because he's a gentleman. He's not going to rape you.
Right.
And you would say, I will be comfortable coming over from 4 to 8 or whatever. When would you be comfortable going over there? Because he'd already asked you to come.
Well, now I'm in a rehab program. So I'm in LA now. So I'm not going to be able to go over there. I'm in a rehab program in LA. So that's why I wanted to see him before I left. But then he didn't respond.
He did respond.
Well, when I said, what time do you want me to come over? That's when he stopped, but he didn't respond.
When he said, I want you to come over and sleep with me. And you said, yes.
He actually said, because I said, it was nice staying at your house. And he said, you come over again. And I said, when do you want me to come over? And he said, I was thinking tomorrow. And then I asked him what time. And then that's when he ghosted me.
Do you understand what you were doing?
No.
You were not telling him what would be comfortable for you.
Oh, I see.
You see?
So now do I have to wait the 8 weeks since he ghosted me?
No, you can make an amends. You can call him up or send him a text. And the amends is, I made a mistake when I quizzed you. I didn't tell you what I would be comfortable with. And this is what I'm comfortable with. Tell me what you would be comfortable with.
Um, Well, I'm not in town anymore. I left town. So, but he can come see me on the weekend.
Was he coming back in town?
I left town. He's still there. So I don't know if he'd want to come see me over here. It's far.
But do you see, the problem here is learning from your lessons. Do you hear your lesson?
Yeah, I think so. That I quizzed him.
You did what?
That I quizzed him.
You didn't sleep with him, but that wasn't the point. You didn't talk to him as if you even really considered doing it.
Wow.
You wanted a passionate man.
Mm-hmm.
9 out of 10 men are passionate. They want friendships with perks. But it can be dangerous.
Right. I have a friend with perks. And I don't know. I'm used to him being very passionate, but I like the other guy because he buys me a lot of stuff. But he has no money. And the one that asked me to come over and then I quizzed him, he has a lot of money. And he's not passionate.
Well, what's that got to do with coming over? You were turning him off by saying this, this, and this.
Oh. So I should just say, I don't need to wait the 8 weeks, even though he ghosted me. I can just make an amends.
Yes, making amends is, I didn't answer you clearly. I was afraid to.
Okay.
I would love to be lovable with you without making love. Because we're not in a committed relationship. Do you see what I mean?
Right.
But if you want to be affectionate and sleep over, please let me know when. And I'll tell you how I feel, yes or no.
Okay. So even though he ghosted me, I can reach out and say that.
Well, you made a mistake.
Right.
Remember what I just told Brian? Evasiveness, mind reading, and abruptness turn people off.
I was being abrupt?
Evasive.
Oh.
Evasive is... Yes, I'd love to come over and sleep with you. No sex, but I'd love that. But I want to know when rather than this is when I'm comfortable.
I'm in a rehab program now, though. So
what?
I'm in a rehab program now, though, so I'm not going to be able to see him for a while. But it's okay if I just say that I apologize for not... And or for quizzing him.
You're not what?
Because I'm in a rehab program and I'm not going to be able to see him for a while because it's far away from home where
then
he's at.
Then let's just call this a mistake evaluation.
Okay.
What have you learned in this question?
What have I learned? Dr. Allen?
Have you learned that when you interview and you chase him, you're the man?
I was chasing him?
What?
I actually did chase him because I called him because I needed money.
You needed money sleeping with him?
No, he just buys me a lot of stuff and he helped me out.
Has he already given you money?
He didn't give me money yet, but he took me shopping and bought me a lot of things that I needed.
He gave you money?
Yeah, he always gives me money.
But do you understand that's the sign of a man?
Right, because the other guy that I'm with that's just like friends with Perks, he's passionate, but he has no money.
I appreciate that. I have no problem with that. But you were acting like a prostitute. What time do you want me to come over? Blah, blah, blah. I want you to act like a girlfriend. I'm not comfortable coming over on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Women have the power of saying, no, I'm not comfortable.
Right.
But when you interview him, you're doing just what every good working sex girl does.
Yeah. Right.
You're not in the business. You want to get married. Is that true?
Yes.
Well, the man...
And Dr. Allen, he bought me diamonds. He bought me diamonds and I told him about not sleeping with anybody until I was married. And so he still has them for me, but
do you understand what you're saying?
I don't know.
You are mad at a man that is giving, protecting, and cherishing you because he's not passionately trying to be sexual.
Right.
9 out of 10 men are powerfully aggressive sexually, but stingy.
Right.
So would you please look at him differently?
Yes. So how do I say sorry again?
What?
How do I say sorry again? I say I want to make an amends.
What you say is, I talked to my therapist, and she said, I was too mothering to you.
Mm-hmm.
And I made a mistake.
Okay. And I want to make amends.
Yes.
Okay. Do I have to ask an appointment or can I just say that?
You have to say, I want to say something to you about our conversation about sleeping together.
Okay.
Is it convenient?
Okay.
And you'll say yes. And you'll say, it was very nice of you to want to cuddle with me, especially without intercourse, because that was really affectionate. But I didn't tell you what I was comfortable, what day and what time.
Okay.
I literally was taking care of you like a mother rather than taking care of me as a woman.
I see. Right. I was catering to his needs.
Got it?
Yes. Okay. But Dr. Allen, you think he can still fall in love with me? Sometimes I feel like he's so distant.
I got news for you. A man that's buying you diamonds when you're mothering him has got a lot going for him.
Okay.
So let's marry him.
Let's
not be like your mother. Let's be a lady like my book, Getting to I Do.
What do I do with a guy that's very passionate, but he's just friends with Perk? Do I keep him around?
Send him a bill for sex, just like any other prostitute.
He's cheap. He should pay me.
Did you get it, though?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much.
What's the one thing prostitutes don't do when they sell themselves?
Kiss.
Kiss. Why?
Okay. It's too intimate.
Because a kiss is more affectionate and loving.
Right.
Got it?
Got it. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, caller. Let us know.
Okay.
Bye. 323-203-0815 is the number to call. Caller, you're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do have a question. Hi, Dr. Pat Allen.
Hello there. What's your question?
My question is, okay, I have a date with somebody on Saturday, or somebody new.
Wait a minute, somebody male, somebody female?
No, a man.
I work with lesbians, I work with gay men.
No. A man.
Okay, so you're going to have a date with a man when?
Saturday. It's a coffee date. So that's, the question
is it the first, second, or third date?
First.
Oh, wow. Where did you get them?
Online.
Oh, good. You haven't met him, though. You haven't smelled him.
No, I didn't smell him yet. Only through the computer. And
I know that,
the
computer gives you information, but the chemistry is given in smelling his chemistry, his body, because his body may be really right for your body or totally wrong.
Yes, I know that. Now, I'm usually on the money with chemistry. It seems like the chemistry already through the computer is hot, but
there is no chemistry in the. Wait a minute. The computer can only get your bodies together at the same table. From that point on, his chemistry goes through your mouth, through your top of your mouth, goes by the tubes that smell, and turns your pituitary on, oxytocin, which if you're with somebody that's hot, you'll glue to. And then you may take up to 2 years to get over him.
Right. Well,
okay,
Dr.
So
Pat,
what's your Allen, question?
The question is, I'm already uncomfortable because I don't feel uncomfortable with everybody I meet, but he has, from what he tells me, and he did say to look him up, he seems wealthy. And that is where the anxiety is coming up with me, the insecurities. It's nice. I did date two other people that had a lot of money. They were very arrogant and made me feel bad about myself. So he seems not.
Understand. You date them. I want you to date them at least 3 times. And if there's any chemistry, date them more times.
Right. Well, what do I do? The question is the anxiety that I'm feeling. Like I notice when he's talking sometimes over the phone.
Wait a minute. I want you to talk like you think they talk, and I'll be the new you. What are you afraid of them saying? What scares you when a man talks?
No, I feel, because I make way low money compared to him. It's just an inadequacy.
Really? I thought men pick women with their eyes. for sexuality. I thought women pick men with their ears for stability. So what is your mother teaching you?
Well, my mother would prefer me to be with somebody with money, of course, you know. I mean,
I understand stability. But I want you to know that men don't wake up and say, I want a gold digger for a wife.
Exactly. No, that's not important to me. I mean, as long as the person...
What's important?
A good character, somebody that treats me nice and well, and I'm treating him good. And
so what scares you?
Well, he seems like he's very well off. That's the scary part.
Wait a minute. How does money make him act like rude? You're talking about a man that once he has money, he's rude.
Because I had two bad experiences with two different people that had money. They would say things like, in other words, I was lucky to date them. You know, they made me, and they would say it.
I got news for you. I'm going to say it to you too. Men cannot cherish a woman unless she respects him for providing a safe, secure life for her. Have you read my book, Getting to I Do?
Yes, I'm reading it.
Well, why don't you read the part that says, are you a feminine? Take the test.
Feminine.
And which one? You're feminine, but you don't act feminine. Men need to be respected for being wealthy, for being powerful. And they don't want, a good man will not rape you. A good man will not force you to drink or use drugs. A good man will say, I really am attracted to you. And I want to date you until we can make a commitment to monogamy, continuity, and long-term marriage. Are you understanding? You've been taught to be a man-hater.
Yeah, I have.
Well, I'm telling you, your mother's wrong. There are good men rich and there are good men poor. The secret of dating and flirting is finding out which they are. And I insist that you date them 3 times before you throw them away.
All right, that sounds good. So in the meantime, because I don't know, you have this anxiety. What would you suggest with the anxiety about it?
Don't let them put their penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina. And if they try, call the police on your cell phone.
Okay. Well, I'm not worried about them. I'm feeling anxiety.
Wait a minute. Your anxiety is because you want to control powerful men.
Yes, you hit it on the button.
You can't control powerful men. All you can do is abandon them. Are you rude to powerful men because you're afraid of them?
I have at different times. Been rude
when,
at different
when
times.
Will you consider, don't be mad at men unless you first have to call the police, a doctor, or a lawyer to sue him? Will you do that, please?
Yes, I will.
And whatever your mother's teaching, it isn't right. There are good guys and bad guys in every field.
I got it. Thank you.
But men need respect to cherish you. If you don't respect them and appreciate them, you're done.
All right, I got it, Dr. Pat Allen. I'll call you to give you an update on.
You can call me anytime you want.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, bye-bye. Caller.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Okay. 323-203-0815 is the number to call. Don't forget to reach out to info@drpatallen.com to get in the wait list for our groups. Hello, caller. You're live on the air with Dr. Allen. Do you have a question?
Hi. Yes, I do. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Yes. We couldn't have a show.
You are welcome. So true. Dr. Allen, I wanted to give you a scenario with a man who dated me and get your take on it. I went on a date. I was out of town vacationing about 3 months ago.
Wait. Where did you find him? On an app? At a dance?
Yes. Sure. On an app.
On an app. Did his qualities appeal to you?
Yes.
Did you like his status?
Yes.
So he was compatible, but have you met him physically for chemistry?
Yes, we went on a date.
Do you have chemistry for him?
Yes.
So what's the question?
So that was about 3 months ago, and we've kept in touch, like texting.
Did he really? And did he not ask you out?
He did. We went on one date while I was in his town, but then I was only there for a week. So I came back home and he lives far away.
Wait a minute. You had logistical incompatibility.
Well, I don't know yet. We did meet in person.
If he didn't drive down or fly down, he didn't want to.
Well, he suggested we get together, and he started planning a trip, and then he just stopped talking about it. So
did
I sent
offer
him
to pay for the flight.
No, we didn't get that far in the conversation.
You didn't get that far? What happened? How did it stop talking?
He threw out an idea of where to go and asked me if I liked that idea, and I said yes.
That's good.
And then he just never brought it up again.
Well, did you tell him you'd be willing to go if he would? It wasn't in your budget to take yourself to him, but if he wanted to bring you to him, why not?
Well, I told him, I sent him a where did you go text because I said, we both were interested. He had mentioned it. I was amenable, but we didn't have plans. And he said, I just haven't had time to plan the trip yet. And then he just disappeared. I mean, he keeps in touch, but he doesn't bring up getting together anymore.
Okay. Do you want to ask him?
Yes, I do.
And this is what you say. I want to ask you a question. Are you willing to answer it? What would he say?
He would say yes.
We had good times when we talked in the past. And you talked about getting together. And I do not have the money to get me there. Are you willing to get me to your place so we can meet and see how we have chemistry.
Okay.
Are you willing to do that?
Yes.
And for those of you that are listening, yes, this tool is a Where Did You Go tool, because he called and talked to her as if he wanted to be with her, but he needs some encouragement, and that's what I'm giving her to say to him. Okay?
All right. Thank you.
Good luck, good luck, good luck. You want to practice it? Pretend I am he. What are you going to write or say?
Okay, I'm going to write.
Have you got my book?
Yes.
Okay.
So I've got them all.
You have five-step cleanup. Okay, you got to make an appointment. You've got to ask him if it's convenient to listen to your question, and then ask him. So first of all, make an appointment. I am him.
Okay. Okay, so I would say, hi, I have a question I want to ask you. Is now a convenient time for you to hear it?
I want you to say, I have a question to ask you. Are you willing to hear it? Yes or no? Don't go on and say, now. That's you mothering. That's you taking over.
So okay.
Take two.
Okay. I have a question, and I wanted to know if you'd be willing to hear it.
Yes. What is it?
Is now a convenient time to ask you my question?
Yes.
Okay, great. You mentioned...
Now stroke him.
Oh.
You mentioned.
I guess I would do a stroke first and say, I've really been enjoying keeping
good.
In touch with you after our date.
Keeping in touch with me.
You keeping
He's
in touch
chasing
with me.
You.
Right. I really enjoyed your keeping in touch with me after our date. And I love that you
love the date.
Yes, which I love the date.
Respect him.
Okay. I love that you suggested we get together, but we don't have any plans yet. Are you still wanting to meet up?
Are you still willing to fly me or come down to meet me?
Okay. Are you still willing?
Yes.
Okay.
Get the answer.
So I guess my follow-up question to you, Dr. Pat, would be...
What is it?
I have a suspicion he would say, yes, I haven't had time to figure it out. Do I give him 8 weeks?
You say, is there anything I can do to help you do it?
Okay.
And he may say, find a place for me to stay near your place, you know?
Yeah.
He would put some energy. What he's saying is he really doesn't know how to get together for chemistry when you have a distance between you. He doesn't do that very often.
Yeah. Yes, right. Probably never.
So the question is there anything you want me to do to help you plan to see me up there or you down here?
Okay.
And see what he says.
Yeah.
Is that your question for today?
Yes. I think that covers it.
Yeah. How often does he call you?
It depends. He never calls. We don't talk on the phone, but he texts like sometimes 3 to 5 times a week and sometimes once or twice a week.
But when's the last time? How long has he been doing this?
He's been doing it for a little over three months.
Okay, so he's really falling in love with you. And I want you to respect him by offering to help him do what he wants to do.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. I will.
Good luck.
I will do it. Thank you. Thank you.
Welcome.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You, caller.
Bye
bye. You bet. 323-203-0815 is the number to call to take the dive into the hot seat with Dr. Pat yeah. Allen. Caller, you are live on the air. Do you have a question?
I do. Thank you. I was calling because I'm wondering, when is the best time to ask a man about his divorce and the kids, especially when they're younger than 10 years old?
Kelly, what did she just say?
The caller said, what is the best time to have a conversation with her? I believe it would be a new man regarding his divorce and his children under 10 years old.
What is the question she's asking me?
She wants to know the best way to have a conversation, I believe. Is that right, caller?
That is correct.
Have you read Getting to I Do?
No.
Well, if you haven't read Getting to I Do, I will give you the direction and you can write it down. But believe me, you need to read the book. Okay?
I can order the book today.
What?
I can order the book today.
Very good. Now, have you got a paper and a pen?
Yes.
I was teaching the last girl how to ask, and you're going to do the same thing. And the question you want to ask is, on how many dates have you been?
Two.
With or without intercourse?
Without intercourse.
Did he ask for it?
No, he just said he wants to kiss me.
That's great. He asked for it. I'm talking about sexuality. So
no.
You have permission to do what's comfortable for you, but don't let his penis in your mouth, anus, or vagina until you're committed to a monogamous, continuous, marriage-bound relationship. Do you want to get married or do you want to get mated only?
I would like to get married.
You would like. Two people want to buy your car. One says, I would like to buy your car. And the other one says, I want to buy your car. Who's got the money?
The one who says, I want.
When you said would like, you flagged him. You didn't expect yes. Got that?
Got it.
That's some of my teachings, and that's in the book. Okay, so now, step number one. Mr. X, we won't use his name. Mr. X, I have a question for you now on our fourth date. I like women to give three dates, unless there's chemistry, then give another date or two or three, whatever. Do you have chemistry with him?
Yes.
Okay, does he have it with you?
Yes, he keeps telling me
yes.
How hot I am.
That's why he asked for a kiss. Okay, here's what you do. Mr. X, I have a question to ask of you. Is it convenient? He says, yes, I'm willing to answer it. Is it convenient now for me to ask it, or at another time, what would he say?
Ask now.
Okay. You told me that you're divorced. Is that true? Has he told you he's divorced?
Yes. Yes, he has.
Have you checked it out with the Record Bureau?
I can't do that. No, but I can't do that.
Okay. I mean, do you believe him that he's divorced?
Yes, I believe him because of his involvement with his children. Yeah, with his involvement then, with his children.
Okay. But he hasn't asked you for intercourse, has he?
No, he has not asked for intercourse.
But did you tell him, I'd love to kiss you if we were committed to monogamy, continuity, and aiming towards marriage? Are you ready for that, sir?
Okay, I will ask him that question.
Okay, he would ask that? He would answer that?
Yes, he would.
Okay. So you would believe him that you're his monogamous girlfriend, right?
Yes.
So what else do you need to ask about his daughter? Why would you... You can't ask about his daughter until you're engaged to him.
Right, but I'm just wondering what precipitated the divorce, because it happened when the kids were so young. The kids were just so young, and I'm wondering what happened. Three little kids and a divorce.
I want you to understand that's playing mother with him. You can stop dating him when he does something that tells you he's a bad guy.
Got it.
You said to me in this call, I feel he's honest. Is that a true statement?
Yes, that is a true statement.
Will you please act like you trust him until he breaks that commitment?
I can do that.
Because when you ask him, why did you get a divorce? That's being either his therapist, his lawyer, or you're his mother. You'll learn enough about him in the first 3 months. You see?
I
want you to get a commitment to monogamy, continuity, and the openness to consider marriage in a year or so. You don't even know somebody till you know them a year. Okay? Have you ever been married?
No, I have not.
Okay. Did your mom and dad have a good marriage?
Somewhat. Pardon? Somewhat.
Who was the boss in the family?
My mother was the boss.
Are you wanting to be the boss over a man?
No.
Then would you please be a woman? Women get what they want by knowing what they don't want. I don't want to have sex with you, sir, unless you're monogamous and continuous and your attitude towards marriage is eventual marriage. Do you hear that?
I do.
And read my book, which says it.
Okay.
Have you got your question answered?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Very welcome. But don't be his mother or his lawyer or his teacher. Be a lady. Wait till he tells you who he is.
Good advice. Good advice, Dr. Pat.
Okay, good. Excellent.
Okay, God bless.
Good.
Thank you, caller. All right. 323-203-0815 is the number to dial to hop in the hot seat with Dr. Allen and get your question answered. We got a Facebook question, Dr. Allen. Here's what they're saying. Dr. Allen.
Yes.
I would like to write a letter.
Would like.
Yeah, I know. That's what she's saying in her message. So you're going to point that, and we're going to see what her hi-bi letter is about, what she thinks she wants to write one about. I would like to write a hi-bi letter to my mother, and I'm terrified to do it. Can you help me figure out how to write a hi-bi letter to my mother, who was emotionally...
Right now.
She says her mother was emotionally...
Steps. It's called hi-bi. You say the things you like. You say the things you don't like. You ask for what you want, or you say no to what you don't want. So let's start right now. And come back next week on the phone and read it.
All right. She's listening right now, Dr. Allen. She's listening right now.
Step one. Dear Mom, I'm writing this letter to you to share my thoughts and feelings about our relationship. Have you got that?
She's following along, Dr. Allen. She's following along. She's writing notes.
Now, the second paragraph is, I want you to know that it's very painful when we, whatever the problem is, hi-bi letters are to share thoughts and feelings. So the second paragraph is, it's very painful when you and I, and then Liz.
Oh my goodness, we've lost Dr. Allen. We must be hitting that funky cell zone. But Sam at the switchboard will get her back because he always gets her back for me. And for you guys, remember, info@drpatallen.com is how you reach out via email to get on the wait list. Hi, Dr. Allen. Welcome back.
Yeah, what happened?
Who knows? Who knows?
Okay. Anyway, the second paragraph is, this is painful in our relationship. The third paragraph is, I really don't want this and this and this. The next and last of this paragraph is, Mom, I want us to be friends.
Oh no, we've lost her again. We almost made it to the end. But there you are.
Well, okay. Anyway, I'm...
Paragraph 4.
The last paragraph is, thank you for reading this letter and perhaps writing me a letter in return, Mom.
I love it. I love it. And it's interesting, Dr. Allen. You were talking about two-chair gestalt the other day, and this woman is saying, I can use this same format to write a hi-bye letter to my aunt who has passed away. You said something interesting about your experience with your husband who passed away. You did two-tier gestalt. Could she do two-tier gestalt with her aunt who's passed?
Can she do what?
Two-chair gestalt.
Yes, two-chair gestalt is wonderful.
Could you lay that out for her?
But I want her to read the letter to me so I can finish the lesson.
Yes, she will. She says she will try to call in next week to read you the letter. She also wanted to know if she could write a letter to her deceased aunt or if two-chair gestalt would be better.
Of course, of course, of course. You can write it to anybody, dead or alive.
Yes. Awesome.
Okay.
Can you outline two-chair gestalt for her?
Pardon?
Can you outline two-chair gestalt for her?
You want me to write the five paragraphs again?
No, I want you to tell her how to do two-chair gestalt.
Oh, two-chair gestalt. Well, this is a very sensitive, emotional thing. People that have ever been born are still in existence. Now, we may call it heaven or hell, but there's a form of gestalt, which is a very sensitive therapist, that says when you want to.
And we've lost her again, folks. We're hoping she's going to come back and we're going to hear this. And then I think we'll probably be done for the night. Okie dokie. There you are. Go ahead, Dr. Pat.
Okay. You write a letter and read it to a picture in a chair in the same room of the person or the name of the person. And then you go to that chair and switch chairs and write a letter back to you on the letter you wrote to her.
Nice.
And you do it, ask them questions. You'll be amazed what happens.
Yep, you'll be amazed at what bubbles forth. Dr. Allen, what do you have to say tonight before we go?
What?
What do you have to say tonight before we go?
Before we go, I want you to understand I'm a transactional analyst, and I want to read something to you. Beware of your thoughts, for they become words. Beware of your words, for they become habits. Beware of your habits, they become your character. Beware of your character, it becomes your destiny. Working and making money, marrying, loving,
and we lost her again. So I think the best thing to do is just say goodbye for tonight. And we love you. We'll be back with you next week. Hopefully we won't have any technical difficulties then. But until then, mwah! Bye-bye.
You're listening to On the Air with Dr. Pat Allen. Empowered communication. Right here on LA Talk Radio.